There used to be this bumper sticker I would see all the time, and it said, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. I think if that's true, then everybody is paying attention, because everybody seems outraged. Hey, it's Matt Palaszczuk, and anger is so prevalent. It's all around us, and so we thought it would be so important today. Let's talk about anger, because what the Bible says about anger is quite a bit different than what you typically hear. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper. What does that look like? Today, we're joined once again by our friend and co-host and pastor, John Engen, to talk about anger. And just a quick note, we just built a brand new podcast studio, which we're very excited about, but we recorded this episode in the studio before it was fully finished, no sound treatment. So if the audio isn't quite perfect on this one, that's because we were using a not quite done studio. This is Considerate Joy.
Considerate pure joy. Pure joy.
See if it sparks joy in you.
Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but there's a lot of angry people out there right now.
There's angry people in the world?
Yeah, there seems to be quite a few, not just in the world, but like even within the church.
Why am I just hearing this?
Well, this was your topic, John.
Oh, that's right. It was my topic. I remember now, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, welcome back to Consider It Joy. We are an official podcast of 88.3 Life FM. Today we have John Engen back in studio.
Yeah,
Pastor
actually,
John, pastor and doctor.
Yes, if you would,
John.
Just bow to my scepter and orb. Kiss the ring if you would.
I won't.
I'm not going to do that.
No. But
as a pastor, then that means you never get angry.
I gave my wife $20 to call me doctor.
Yeah.
She wouldn't take it.
No?
No. $20.
Try 50.
No. But no, it's not worth it.
That's your title. That's your title. That's your personal title.
Yeah,
but that's
she won't
not
do
your
it. She won't
title.
Do it. It's just a mess in our family. And I've got to straighten things out, but my doctorate's in psychology, so I'm just going to manipulate her mind and get her to say it.
Because it's about our subject. Are you angry about that?
So I decided, John, because I wasn't sure on what exactly to title this podcast, so I did what any clear-thinking human would do. I turned to ChatGPT.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and so I asked ChatGPT to write us like a catchy little title about Christians dealing with anger. Here's a few options we could go with. That it gave me. Sanctified Fire, Channeling Christian Anger for Change.
Don't like it.
Rage to Redemption, Unleashing Christian Power Over Anger.
I want the album Rage to Redemption.
No kidding.
Wouldn't that be cool?
So good.
I hear it's got a lot of steel drum on it, though.
Probably.
It's kind
Striper
of a,
could do it.
Kind of a tropical thing.
Here's one more. Holy Fury Unleashed. Transforming Christian Wrath into Purpose. And I feel like maybe ChatGPT didn't quite capture what we were going for.
That sounds more like a movie title.
Or a metal album.
Yeah,
but
I would think so. Yeah.
So why anger? John, you brought this up before. I mean, we've all seen it everywhere, but what do you think is the importance of addressing anger?
Well, here's the deal. This all is born out of a conversation I had with a lady who was just anxiously angry over her ex-husband. And I mean, seriously, she won't let this go. It's 10 years since all of her life went into different directions, and she won't let it go. And I was talking to her one day, and she said, you know, here's the thing. I'm really praying that God will take care of my anger. What do you think? And I said, I have got an answer for you. You are going to hate. Absolutely hate. Start hating me now. She said, what are you talking about? God's not going to ever take away your anger. He won't. The Bible tells you to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's all in our hands. It's all in our management. Mm-hmm. And here's what happens when you get all these angry Christians around. Somehow they want to categorize this into holy fire, you know, somehow.
Righteous anger.
Yeah, right. And the fact is, that's really hard to quantify, that whole righteous anger thing, because most of it's, they violated my heart or my life or whatever, and I'm just going to spend my life being ticked at them.
Yeah. So I'll probably reference this a lot. There's a book that stood out to me a lot. Brent Hansen, radio host Brent Hansen. He was kind of a mentor for a little while for me.
Shout out.
And he wrote a book called Unoffendable. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of about this, because I feel like when you start talking anger and offense, they work hand in hand. And he talks about how there's that verse in Ephesians 4:26 And people will sometimes reference it as, when you are angry, do not sin. They're like, no, so anger's okay.
No.
Just don't sin. And he points out, but you just left off half that verse.
Exactly.
You didn't continue the second half that says, when you are angry, do not sin, and be sure to stop being angry by the end of the day. So, of course, we're going to be angry. That's mm-hmm. We're humans. We're wired that way. But it's on us, then, to stop doing it.
Well, listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, rid yourself. Now, that doesn't say, Aaron, you rid me of it, or God rid me. It's me.
It's you.
It's all in my hands. Rid yourself of every kind of evil, deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, and every kind of slander. Boy, it covers a lot of bases in 2 Peter. And then it goes back and says, just like newborn babies thirst for the pure milk of God's word, you got to get rid of that so you can grow in God's word. Here's what bothers me about haters. No matter what you do as a person, I've said this before. If somebody hates you and you raise the dead, they're going to complain because the body still has dandruff. There's never going to be a satisfaction because everything they see you about is going to tick them off.
That's it. There's nothing you can do about that person.
No, you really can't.
The one thing that you can do, mm-hmm. When you talked about your divorced friend, that I thought about was forgiveness. Like the biggest thing, when you're angry, when we're angry and we're upset with somebody, the biggest issue I think is to forgive one another. You look at God, how many times has he been angry with us? With the things that we say, you know what, God, I vow I'm not going to do this again. And then there I go, I fall, and I make a mistake. You're a parent, you're a dad, you're maybe a mother, and you get upset with you're upset with your kids, but you still love them. You're not going to change that. Love is not going to change. The only thing that's going to change is whether you forgive, and that's where healing begins.
Yeah. Well, that follows the very same question, because you talk to somebody who's angry, and you say, why don't you let it go? Well, you just don't know what they did to me. Mm-hmm. So what if God started using that sentence? Well, you just don't know what you did to me. Yeah, he could walk away. I mean, he could easily walk away. But, you know, the old sense, of course, everybody talks about this, is that living in anger is like you drinking poison and hoping somebody else will die.
Yeah.
Because it just grinds in your system. The physiological nature of anger is amazing because it literally changes your brain structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns it into this machine of anger that just gets worse and worse and worse. In fact, there's a passage in the Proverbs that talks about that anger is like an acid that eats at the bones. I mean, the point, of course, is that the thing that settles my heart is it's mine to get rid of. It's mine to let go. And it's our duty to forgive.
So here's where I feel like anybody listening may have this thing, because I feel like I've heard it a million times, and we kind of referenced it, the righteous anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, no, I get it. You're not supposed to be angry, but like you are, sometimes you're supposed to be angry because things are angering, and you look at the world around us and look what's happening out there, and that's righteous anger, and we're supposed to have that. Is that what the Bible says?
No, absolutely not.
No.
Just in case you're really asking the question.
Yeah.
That's not what it says.
Right.
This is the difficult part. We want to stay angry, so we make it spiritual. And we decide, well, that's that righteous anger. You know, I'm out there and I'm hating the sin but loving the sinners. No, the chances are you're hating the sinners too because of what they're going through. It's not a righteous anger in the least.
Right. My understanding of it is when righteous anger comes up, you can find that in the Bible because maybe somebody's thinking about it. Yeah, there's lots of references to righteous anger. Yes, and it's God's.
Oh, it's all him, yeah.
And we're not, he's entitled to that because he's perfect. We're not perfect. And so we can't have a righteous anger. The one thing that it always has got me, this idea, and you'll see it in memes even sometimes, where it'll say like, hey, just because I'm Christian or I follow Jesus or try to be like him, don't forget that might include flipping tables and taking out the whip. And it's like, at what point did you think you were Jesus in that story?
Exactly.
You're the money changer.
All you did was stand up and flip your own table. Pretty much, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny too. How many times do we, you don't have to actually turn that story into yourself. Like, it's literally, it's Jesus' story.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one in charge. He should be the one in charge. He is the one in charge.
I don't know.
But that's the righteous anger.
Right.
Because he's righteous.
Because he is righteous. Yeah. Yeah. And we're not. But we like to do that. And other, you know, guys, like, we like to do that too. It's like, yeah, well, I'm justified in this or whatever. And, so many things. I mean, it's not just anger, but we see this, or I'm sure you see it all the time, John, where something is just out of context completely.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Oftentimes based because, not even because of necessarily something we read, but something that we read a portion of that feeds into what we want.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to pull things out of context to make them justify us. You know, it's interesting. So if you go with the premise you've got anger, then you go with the thesis that says, it's in your hands to let it go, then go with what it does to you. Because mm-hmm. anger unchecked will turn you into a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't fix it by them changing, it'll turn you into a liar. You'll start telling stories that aren't true. But it's also going to turn you into a hermit.
Yeah.
Because no one likes to hang around people who just are ticked all the time.
Right.
I've had friends like that you sit down at the table and the first thing they do is, you know, gripe about this and groan about that and how somebody has hurt them. And okay, fine, we've heard this story. How about we talk about God? No, I don't want to do that. I want to talk about this.
So let me ask you, what do you think that you do then to the person that is angry with you? You've forgiven them. There was an argument. There could have been something that happened. You've forgiven them. They're not forgiving you.
No.
They don't get it. How do you deal with that relationship?
You don't have to. Seriously, it's one of those things. So, you know, I have this computer thing in my head that every time I try to get into my emails, it says no access allowed. I don't know why that happens. But here's the problem. If you allow their anger to continue to run your life, then you haven't let it go.
Yeah.
Because that's the secondary core of anger. They're plugging in two cords. They're plugging in the core of they want you to change and they want to be ticked at you. But they also plug in this cord that says, but you're never going to let it go, are you? You know, you're always going to look at me and say, that's what they did.
Maybe that's an important distinction for some people to understand.
It's big.
When people are coming from that place of deep hurt, deep family hurt, past trauma and stuff like that, maybe misinterpreting, like, we're not saying that forgiveness means like, oh, that's fine now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you define that for somebody like they've faced that trauma? So forgiveness not necessarily meaning that that's not going to impact them anymore. Like, what is that balance?
Well, first of all, forgiveness doesn't change them. It will never change them. It changes you. Mm. And then once it changes you and you start creating distance between what they did or how they hate you and who you are, I got to use my wife as an illustration. There's no reason for her to smile, except that she's married to me. But that's, of course, a different. The life that she has led in certain portions of her day or of her lifetime were awful. She actually had somebody try to kill her with a tire iron.
Hmm.
It was just awful. I mean, it was just terrible. She had another person who just ate her out from the inside with acidic conversation. But yet she rejoices in Christ. And the reason she did was she forgave them and walked away. Does she give them access to her? No. Not at all. No access allowed.
And that's a key ingredient, walk away.
Yeah, it's not like you forgive them, hey, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese and play some games and have pizza. That's probably a really bad idea. But if you can let it go, I love what Proverbs says, be kind one to another, gentle-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, well, in the New Testament, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The illustration is Christ. The power is God. You forgive. Let it go. Now, when she gets in the presence of those people, I can't believe how profoundly kind she is. I keep thinking, are you packing a 38? Because I don't want to go to that party. But her kindness is so gracious. It's amazing to me because she doesn't give them access.
Do you find it's a continual process?
Oh.
You know, for some, you know, it'd be like, well, I tried forgiving them one day, and then the next day it was all back.
It happens because you might go 2 or 3 years and everything's at peace, and all of a sudden it's, you know, like a teenage pimple that's raging on your forehead. You say, where did that come from? You never know. But remember, you forgiving them doesn't stop their rage.
Mm-hmm.
It stops the effect of their rage on you. And so you got to go back around and say, okay, I put this away. It's in God's hands. I set it down. I'm walking away.
And doesn't mean that the hurt's gone for you, the one that forgives.
No.
It's still going to be there.
The scars are always going to be there.
The anger, though, is the difference.
Yeah.
Like that's gone.
Yeah.
That's what changes. Even though the hurt's there, the anger goes away. Forgiveness.
So bottom line, God's never going to take away your anger.
Mm-mm.
He just won't.
I'm curious with you guys. When's the last time you were really angry?
Well, I think it was about 15 minutes ago.
It's
funny that this podcast is over.
No, I actually found it recently that I was attacked. And I just stewed. Mm. And I was sitting there thinking about all the things, you know, because now, for some reason, those file cabinets are really within my reach of all the violations and all the things that are going on. And I remember thinking, I've got to close those cabinets. They're always going to be in my head. I can't let them go. You know, they're all going to, the hard drive never gets erased upstairs. But my attitude toward what happened can be changing. So I sat down and talked to my wife, and we prayed about it. And it was just like, you know, it's a nice shower on a summer day in Bakersfield. You feel better.
And I think maybe that's a part of it also, the intentionality of what you did in that moment to sit down and pray about it. Because most of us, we have a hard time even breaking out of that channel. Your brain jumps into that river of rage, right? And then you're just floating all the way down. And then it's not just what that person did. It's what you should have said in that moment.
Yep.
And then, and also they treated that person this way.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you didn't stop. You didn't. And it's hard because your brain just gets stuck in that place.
And it's not just the fact that you sat down and prayed.
Yeah.
You did it with somebody else. You were able to speak to somebody, because so many times having that communication with somebody else, it really opens your thought process more.
But you've got to go to somebody who's not got a can of gasoline with them.
Yeah.
Because, yes. True.
Because there's so many people that we know that know the circumstances. And you'll find them first. And, I got to tell you what they did to me now. Oh, I got to hear this. And it just blows up in your face. Yeah. You got to find somebody who you can trust. You know, when Job went through all his issues, I mean, this guy had every reason to be upset, right? His wife finally says, curse God and die. He sits there in his sackcloth and ashes. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar show up. Aren't you guys impressed that I know
those guys? That was good.
Gonna
That's
say,
how you got the doctorate, isn't it?
Like some accolades here,
he
boys.
He was going to name his kids that.
The best thing Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar gave Job was that they shut up for 7 days. They just sat with him. But when they opened their mouths, that's where it all went sideways. Then Elihu shows up and says, listen, settle down. That's when God turns around and says, I just want to let you know, where were you when I put the earth together? You weren't here for it? Oh, that's room. You know, I remember that. But sometimes when you get friends who are friends of rage, they will hurt you more than the person who has been angry at
you.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, because you get the person that you know is going to agree and fuel a fire. That is a terrible situation. Yeah,
exactly.
That doesn't lead to forgiveness at all.
No.
I'll speak on this. It just only because I just recently got back from hiking. A few years ago, my wife and I, we were hiking. This is the only thing I can think of, rage. We had stopped one night at a campsite, and it's random, like random campsites. There's a bear box. You're supposed to put your food into these giant bins to make sure it's safe from bears, but it didn't say anything about people. And then the next day, we went and hiked 20 miles later, and down the road, opened up our food canister and found half of the food was gone because of somebody that I figured out who had... There was only one other person at the campsite, so we knew who stole the food, and he kept talking about being hungry, and I was just floored, so much to the point that the next person I spoke to outside of camping, besides my wife, was a guy who I knew that could get me the help to find this person, which I did find this person, where he lived, and got his address. My plan was to go to his house, dump the same type of food on top of his lawn, and leave a nice note and say, are you still hungry? And I, you know,
oddly, I'm kind of proud of you, but I don't know why.
I wanted to do this, but it was, I didn't, I held back, but I was still angry. And I didn't know I was still angry about it and, yeah. and furious because of the next 2-3 years, we'd be out there hiking and somebody would bring up a bear box. I'm like, oh, you know what you shouldn't do? You shouldn't put your food in the bear box. And my wife says, just, you know, you just stop. You stop telling people this stuff. This is this year. This is the first year I didn't bring it up. And it took a while, but it was only because we would pray about it. We would sit down, talk, yeah. and pray about it. But yeah, it took a while. Am I still upset about it? Yes, but I'm not angry with the guy anymore. I'm sure he's okay.
I don't know if you... if you remember, Aaron, there was... this goes back years, and... In the retelling, it probably sounds so stupid, but it's one of the angriest times the most angry I've ever been. And it was a trip. We were visiting family, and we went to surprise them, and we stayed in this hotel. Mm. And it was an independently run hotel. And so the owner there just is a straight-up jerk. And I can't... There were so many little... Like, if I start recounting it all, I'll probably get worked up over it. But I remember there's a pool, and my wife and kids are all in the pool, and I had gone to pick up dinner or something. And when I got back, the guy confronts me in the entryway of the hotel. Yeah. He's like, hey, they with you? Is that your girlfriend over there? I was like, whoa, you mean my wife and kids?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you can't just let people in and use our pool. We have a room here. And it continued on. Like, it was, it became a whole thing. And they had the, you know, their little breakfast thing in the morning. My youngest at the time was probably 3.
Yeah.
And was looking through, you know, oatmeal packets or something. And he yells at her because he's watching everything. He's like, hey, she can't just touch them all. What are you doing? And it got to the point where we were leaving. I can't even remember what was said. But I said something to him as we're stepping out of the door. And he comes right up to me, face to face. He's like, what did you say to me? And I don't think I've ever been, I'm like shaking mad.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not a jock or the meathead guy, but I've done martial arts for quite a few years. My fist was so ready. I had it all mapped out in my head.
You had the conclusion, right? Him on the floor bleeding.
Listen, gray-haired backwoods man, I'm about to give you a free lesson. And I have never, I don't recall a time I was at, like, you know, where it's like physically manifesting on how angry you are. But I texted, that's Aaron and my pastor at the time. I was like, you guys, I need you to pray for me or something, because legit, I'm going to go to jail.
Take care of my family.
But that's what Aaron was talking about, is having somebody there that even in that moment, it was a short little text, you know, but it was something. I wasn't just sitting there in it. And so I'm not in jail. So that's positive.
Well, it is a very positive thing. Just remember, you took the right action. You decided to put yourself in check. Mm-hmm. A lot of us don't do that. And so we let our rage just take control. So go to the right people.
Yeah.
Turn to the right people that are going to give you a hand. I was just reading Ephesians chapter 4 again. I want to do that because I think it's important for you to hear what Paul is saying. I like verse 30. It says, don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Oh, God's involved in this? Yeah, he is. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Verse 31, get rid of bitterness. Mm. Oh, I like my bitterness.
I just read I just read a story about Pastor J. Vernon McGee, if you guys remember who that guy is.
On the Bible bus.
The Bible,
I do, yeah.
That's his favorite verse of all the Bible.
Get rid of rage. Get rid of anger. Get rid of harsh words. Get rid of slander, as well as all type of evil behavior. And then the verse we quoted, 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other. Tenderhearted. Ooh. That means I have to let some people in, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. It's up to you.
I still left a really bad Yelp review for that guy.
He fights back on Yelp.
I'm pretty sure you can find it.
I'm not going to lie, I've poorly left some Yelps behind myself.
There's another verse, James 1:20. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
My mother actually made me memorize that when I was like four.
Wow.
Did you ever apply it, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because in the King James, I'll tell you, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Here's the deal about that. As soon as your wrath shows up, God leaves room.
Yeah, he's out. Part of it.
He's out. I can't do anything with this. I'm out.
I think about, we talk about how sometimes it's a continual process. You have to keep coming back to it. And thinking about Charleston in 2015 and the shooting that took place. Remember, yeah. And was it nine? I think nine people died. And it wasn't only, but like 48 hours later when that court case that got so much television coverage, when some of the family of the victim stepped up and forgave Dylan Roof, the shooter,
right. Mm-hmm.
for what he had done. And I just remember how powerful that was, and it also because it was so nationally seen.
Yeah.
But I think what an example, not just of the forgiveness, but you know these people did not walk away and then they were fine. I mean, this is an ongoing until today process.
Still to today, yeah.
One of the guys, Chris Singleton, his mom died in that shooting. He said it takes a lot more courage to forgive than it does to say, I'm going to be upset about whatever forever. It's like, wow.
Oh, that's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And the key ingredient is too, I mean, to go back to what John said, to walk away from those people that may not even change, that made you angry. It's important to move from them because if you continue, unless it's like a work situation or whatever the case may be, and you're stuck
right.
for that time being, but you don't have to put yourself in that place every day.
And be willing to understand that when you walk away, it's going to make them angrier because they want you in that sandbox and they want you controlled by their anger.
And we don't put always, I think, the same weight on that as we do something else. I mean, everybody knows if you're in AA, don't go with your old drinking buddies who you know are still out there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to anger, like, we don't think that same way.
Yeah.
It's like you want to go to those people who are angry so you feel justified in it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And maybe feel like you can reconcile it or we can make this better. But it's going to be up to them.
And I
too.
Almost feel like there's something in that. If we take a wide angle view of it, it's almost an admittance that we know it's wrong because we're seeking someone to tell us we're right, you know? And so I think if we actually, when you're outside of that moment of anger and you realize what's actually happening, that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. Hmm. This is very timely in my life because this whole thing just happened to me.
And yeah.
You know, you hit under attack and I said, let's sit down and talk. Not good enough. Yeah. I mean, what?
Right.
I thought that was kind of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So that's some of the really heavy anger stuff. One of the things I thought of when you mentioned wanting to talk about anger, because we see it so prevalent, and it's all, you know, politics gets tied into it so often. But I was thinking, like, we're in a time right now where everything is about offense, like, which, again, is so tightly bound to it. And it's funny to me because offense equals anger, or maybe one, I think it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't believe, and you hear it all the time, everybody is upset or offended by everything. You can't do anything without being offended. But then what I'll often hear is, well, that's true. I hear somebody getting so upset that everybody out there is offended at something else. So you're like, I can't believe everybody's so offended. Why do they have to be so offended? I don't know, buddy. You sound pretty offended that they are. And so you end up having this kind of like, and I feel like there's a lot of that, at least right now, where you see you are either actually offended at whatever political correctness thing and you don't, whatever, or you're offended that everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, neither of these are accomplishing anything.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
People, I think just in that sense, people have forgotten how to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
People, you can have disagreements. That doesn't mean anger. You can have arguments. It doesn't mean anger. You can't let those, I don't know. You have to be open when you have conversations.
I think that could be a whole other podcast.
It totally is.
The art of conversation and the art of discussing something that is disagreed on.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist almost.
No, it doesn't. But it would be a great topic for conversation because it's what happens when somebody's angry, you know, like I said, they turn into liars, but they also, in the process of that journey, are bullies.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to slash and burn everybody they possibly can because they don't, you know, they need their way to be had.
And there's so many things tied into that because now it's not that you're wanting to make your point, it's you're wanting to be right.
Oh,
and
that's it.
You know, yeah. and it
well,
it
that's
is.
When your brain,
that's
your,
two or three
you've already turned off. Your anger is always is turned into wanting to be right.
Not that I quote Dr. Phil often, but I'm actually going to quote him now. A lot of times he asks his guests, do you want to be right or do you want peace?
Yeah.
I think that's true. A good line.
It's a great line.
It
great
is
line.
Really good. So where do we land with all this? I mean, do we have a basis, whether we're talking about dealing with past trauma and the anger that's lasted for years, or we're dealing with the coworker that's always ornery, or the racist neighbor, or, I don't know, the unfair work environment?
Mm.
What is kind of our baseline principle then? Because we just say, well, don't be angry. What's maybe a better way that we can approach that?
I don't know. Just if you understand the responsibility that it's yours to do something with it, that you control the volume of how that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to have a guy who was a butcher, and he was not a happy guy, and I was afraid he was going to come home and splash pig blood on my yard or whatever.
I'd be afraid he'd come over to your house and just use his knife.
But we do that with other people. We let them come in. You know, David says that in Psalm chapter 40. You don't know what the pit he's talking about? You read deeper. It's people. It's people who are, you know, they say there are people going, aha. So good question, Matt, is what do you do with it when you got it?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it is your responsibility to do something with it. But it's also your responsibility to seek out ways that you can have conversations and you can find peace. And that you go to the right people who aren't going to fuel the flames. Because those people are all standing by. They are in line waiting to make you more miserable.
And I do want to say, it is okay for us to be angry. Yeah. It is okay to be angry. It's the type of anger you let it become. That's the difference.
Yeah. Well, and I think hanging on to it.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty clear. We're going to be angry.
Yeah.
If I slap Aaron in the face, he's probably going to be angry. But you're not allowed to be angry tomorrow.
Let's see how that works.
Let's try it right now.
That's a living example.
But and the I don't know, excuse, I guess sometimes it's kind of what you're talking about, John, where somebody says, oh, I've been praying for a long time that God would take this anger from me. And I think your point is saying,
no,
that's what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't just, it's like, I've been praying a long time God would take the alcoholism away from me.
But in
you
the meantime,
haven't changed your life
no.
or your people that you're around.
Yeah, in the meantime, I'll just go to a liquor store and get a little more.
Right.
That's how this works. It's the same analogy. It works both ways.
Yeah. So, for anybody that's been in that place, what's the encouragement to them right now? What's a good first step? They're like, I do have that. I know why that I have that.
Well, you know, I think in the psychological world, you've got to come to a point where you admit it, you know, that you have been dealing with this and don't excuse it. That's always second number two is admit it. Number one, number two, don't excuse it because that's always our go-to. Well, you know, they've done this, they've done that. No, don't excuse it. And then number three is own it. I love what, I don't quote Robert Schuller much either, but here's what he said. He said, if you lay an egg, pick it up so other people don't trip over it. Hang it in the air and admit it's yours. And number three, put it away so no one else trips over it. And it's the same thing. It's admit it, don't excuse it, and then deal with it. And that will always bring you to the victory on the other side. If you don't do any one of those three steps, you're going to still spend life angry and having people anger at you.
When did you start sitting down and listening to Dr. Phil and Schuller and started memorizing their quotes?
It's kind of been an ongoing thing.
Decades, I would assume.
It's a full immersion. I can quote Dr. Stanley.
Well, there you
Charles
go.
Charles Stanley. He said, you got two choices in life. Either you make scratches or you kick dents. And I'm thinking, I want to kick some dents.
I think most of my psychology came straight from Sesame Street, which was a pretty solid foundation.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree with you either.
Yeah.
I think there's some SpongeBob in there, too.
Piece of butter.
Lots. Well, John, thank you for being able to walk through some of this. I think everybody can relate to this on some level. They're either in it now or they have been or they're somewhere in between. So in the meantime, listen to more Consider It Joy because I'm sure that'll help everybody to ease your anger and offense.
It's probably a pill of happiness. That's what it is.
Well, Consider It Joy is a production of 88.3 Life FM out of Bakersfield, California. You can listen to us every weekday on 88.3 Life FM app. You can also find all the ways to listen and connect at ConsiderItJoyPodcast.com. Also, make sure you subscribe. Hit the 5-star rating thing. That helps us get the word out to more people. And thank you for being here. Now, let's all punch each other in the face and see how we feel tomorrow.